thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Welcome back to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm touched. One of my main partners is back. He's in one of our pictures on the pictures on Twitter. It's just me and him in the picture. But introduce yourself, sir.
Yeah, I got the Shaquille O'Neal pin right here. Figured I have to use that today. Everybody been hating on me at work.
They hating on you for what?
Oh, because it's a big pin. I don't know why.
Jealousy, I say.
Nah, I mean, it is what it is. But I do want to talk about my love affair with Bryce Harper. Let's just continue tonight.
We're going to talk about him later on in the show.
Oh, this is Ray, though, by the way. You told me to introduce myself. My bad. I'm talking.
Oh, yeah, I guess I didn't introduce myself as well. This is Wally. Will's not here. We don't have King out here either, but just me and Ray. Like the old days, we used to do a two-man show on a regular.
Chill.
But all in all, it's good with you, man?
Yeah.
It's just conversation,
everything,
man.
Everything is good, brother.
You know what I'm saying? All right, man, it's just conversation, man. I mean, we're the Urban Sports Scene on the Eyes Radio Network. You can listen to our stuff on the Eyes Radio Network just by visiting www.eyesradio.com. Such shows on there are Run TMC, which is hosted by Tom Block and MC Hater. That show airs from Monday through Fridays from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. You got Clutch Sports Radio, which airs Thursdays, which is tomorrow, 8 to 10 Eastern Time. And also BT Sports Radio, which airs Tuesday nights from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. They had Clinton Portis on there yesterday.
Really?
Yeah, Clinton Portis and the dude from NBC. I want to say Hanley or something. He does the sports on NBC.
I know you're talking about.
Yeah, so, but yeah, Clinton Portis, which was amazing. I big up Tom Blocker. He was proud about that on Twitter and on Facebook, kept talking about it. But that's a big thing. 7 and 9.
BT Sports Radio, who's that?
They're new on the network.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Sure, I know. Yeah, man. That was the 7 to 9. That's supposed to be our spot live, but something happened with that one. Anyway, check out our homies, Crowley and Watts Radio Podcast Show. Check it out at www.crowleyandwatts.com. Also, we have our show syndicated on the internet radio station, Real People, Real Talk Radio. The show is hosted by our good friends from Applegee's. Make sure you visit the site, www.realpeoplerealtalk.com. Anything you want to add? Pre-gaming it?
No, Mr. 85 is back, though, so.
85 is back. I hate that term.
You haven't heard me in a while.
You know a guy who put, I'm gonna say a guy who didn't just put 85% on the field, but a guy who put 100% on the field. Chris Cooley, he was released by the Washington Redskins. I'm just a little pissed off at it, man. I really am upset about it. Not because Chris Cooley was released, because I think the writing was put there on the wall that you know he was gonna get released. You move Niles Paul to tight end, a wide receiver to tight end. You have him playing fullback. You even had him playing special teams. My problem about the whole situation was you should have cut him. Before, like, earlier in the training camp. There's no need to even have him on the team. You knew you were going to cut him. Don't play it off and say, like, all right, well, he wanted to be a starter. You weren't going to you didn't want him on the team. By having Niles Paul, and I watched Niles Paul in training camp, and that dude can't catch. And I've seen him in preseason games, he can't catch. So, obviously, you didn't want Chris Cooley on the team, but probably because of the contract he had, which would have gave him $6 million if he was still in the roster. So, my thing is, he's a veteran player. Why wait to the last preseason game to cut him? Should have cut him before that.
You have a Shanahan problem.
That's I don't have a Shanahan problem. He's a rat faced bastard. I don't have a problem with the dude. The dude is he's dirty. Like I've always stated, even with we had the Donovan McNabb situation, how he yanked him in that Detroit game, or even honestly when Albert Haynesworth's brother passed away and he wanted to play the game after, he kind of carried him on that note. The dude to me is he has bad people skills. Put it like that. He has horrible people skills. I don't think he's honest. I think there's a certain way you treat your veterans. Chris Cooley's done a lot for this community. Give him the respect to let him have a good a shot to land on with a team. There are so many teams in the NFL that would use a tight end like Chris Cooley at this point in his career. You have the Chicago Bears who don't have a tight end. You have the Raiders who don't have a tight end. You have the Cowboys who's missing Jason Witten, who probably won't have Jason Witten probably to the midpoint of the season. There are a lot of teams out there in the NFL that need a tight end. Why wait till like the last preseason game to get rid of him?
Well, it may be, I want to say, 4 years late, 3 years late. Chris Cooley hasn't had a healthy season in how long?
Yeah, but I agree. I'm not arguing that.
I think the move should have came last year, actually, instead of this year. The timing of it really doesn't bother me. I guess a Redskin fan that angers you.
Well, feel like this. All right, let me put it this way. Who's a loyal, great, what's your middle linebacker for Atlanta? Brookings. I'm sorry. Say, all right, he never left. Say he wanted to be an Atlanta Falcon, but you knew there was a player to take his position.
Kind of what happened with him, actually.
They released him, though. They didn't release him at the last preseason game. They gave him the respect.
They released him before.
Exactly. That's the best way you treat your veteran. You give him an opportunity to sign on with another team. There's a respect level. There's a certain respect you show veterans who did a lot for your team and your community. It's just out there. It's not just being a Redskin fan. It's just seeing an athlete who busts their butt for your organization for years. You treat him with a certain respect.
Mike Shanahan or Bruce Allen didn't draft Chris Cooley.
Doesn't matter. It's the same. It doesn't matter. If Marty Schottenheimer, the reason why he got fired was because of the way you treat Dale Green. There's a way you treat players in this league. You know what? Because for other veteran players, they want to come to D.C., they're going to look how you treated them. And they're going to be like, oh, I'm not coming here. That does have a trickle-down effect.
Players are too entitled.
Oh, God.
That was a bad move.
I feel like you're
just being a devil. Marty Schottenheimer actually was a good coach and would have had a good career here in Washington.
Nah, I doubt that. I'm going to say all that.
Second half of the season, riding that momentum into next year. What did you get after that?
After that, we had Joe.
Spurrier,
and we got Joe on the playoff.
Spurrier, you want to skip Spurrier, huh?
I'll skip Spurrier.
You rather have Spurrier.
Matter of fact, you rather have Spurrier
than Marty Schottenheimer. Are you kidding me?
Hell yeah.
Daryl Green was done. You disrespected him, but look at how the Red Sox are backing Bobby V, who nobody's a big Bobby V fan. I'm not even really.
He's not a winner.
But exactly. Well, I don't disagree with you, but the change of culture is from the top in that situation. And in D.C., the top had an issue back then. The top that's not. He's better than he was. But
my whole thing is that there's a bunch of the respectable organizations out there in the NFL do not treat players like that. You can say, all right, well, D.C.'s a change in the regard, but the organizations that are respected organizations don't do that. The Steelers wouldn't do that to Hines Ward. I'm just saying, look at the classy organizations that are winning Super Bowls. I'm just being real. The Patriots don't wait till the last minute to cut you.
Well, they might.
No, they'll cut you. But they'll cut
they'll
you.
They'll trade you, I'm telling you.
They'll cut you and trade you, but they'll do it at a particular time for you to sign on. Like, look at Brandon Merriweather. When they got rid of Brandon Merriweather, they gave him an opportunity to sign on another team. They cut him early. Their winning organizations act a particular certain way. The Redskins... Other than Shanahan, because I'm not going to put this on Daniel Snyder. I've heard a lot of people say, like, all right, well, Daniel Snyder and Shanny. Nah, this is a Shanny move. Daniel Snyder is out of all that doing nowadays. This is all on Shanny.
Well, Bruce Allen has something to do with it, too. But Cooley, Miami's the only team interested from what I'm hearing. I don't think Dallas will need Cooley or any other NFC.
Why would Dallas not need? They're more than Miami. The Raiders are interested from what I heard. I've heard
that's a winning organization.
No, I'm not saying winning just for him to play and be
speaking,
a starter.
I'm just speaking my mind, bro.
Oh no, I agree with you. I'm not arguing.
No. I'm just saying. Who else?
Right now, I've heard that teams. Hold on. I've heard that a number of teams are. Sorry, we're having technical difficulties. Another team. A lot of teams are waiting for the first game of the preseason. I mean, sorry, the regular season because the contract. He doesn't get a guaranteed contract, and you get him for cheaper if you get him after the first game. So like 8,000, you get from 800,000 or something.
I wouldn't be surprised if he comes back to the Redskins.
That was a rumor. I don't think he's going to come back to the Redskins. I don't think so at all.
You know who is funny though? This is on another note.
Yeah.
Graham Gano, because he spoke very confident the day before, saying, "I feel bad for."
And now he's gone.
Who was the kid? I keep wanting to say Shane Graham, but
the kicker that they cut?
Yeah,
Rackers.
Racker. There we go. Neil, I don't know why I'm thinking Shane Graham, but he was saying I'm close with Neil. I feel bad for him and his family, but I'm glad I have my spot on this team, and we have a good chance to do something this season.
Too bad for you, because it didn't happen that way.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, on Facebook, Tony Snow, just say South. South says, "F no, Davis can't block, and he smokes too much weed."
Chris Cooley, if he's an elite blocker, then I don't know what an elite blocker is. Clinton Portis is the best blocker in Redskins history.
You know Chris Cooley can block, though, right? That's why he played fullback. That's what I'm saying. Like, are you speaking as like a just to be the devil's advocate, or are you being honest?
A little bit of both. No, because I'm not the biggest Chris Cooley fan.
Obviously. Yeah, I could tell.
Chris Cooley had a good run with the Redskins, but his time has been well overdue.
I mean, what do you mean by well overdue?
He's a fan favorite. You keep him around for that reason, probably.
So you're trying to say, was he never produced?
He's been injured the past few years.
Last couple years, when
you have injuries, you get released in this league.
My whole thing about
the timing of the release is your biggest problem.
That's my biggest problem.
Yeah. I think you're right to a degree, but they probably should release them last season.
I'm not arguing that at all. If you want to get
hold
rid
on,
of them,
time out.
Oh shit! What the hell's going on with my mic?
Your mic's tripping. Well, let me take over the show, and we rewind. A matter of fact, not rewind. Please go back in the archives, check out some of our old shows on Podbean, walio.podbean.com.
Yeah, go ahead.
And listen to the Aaron Hernandez, Chris Cooley argument. Just a year ago, this guy was vouching for Chris Cooley so hard.
Yeah, because he's like that.
No, but he was injured. Just the things were identified now. He probably should have been released. You just said you agree.
I agree
with you.
But
you were vouching for that man.
Because
who would you want right now on your team?
No, Aaron Hernandez or Chris Cooley? Can I defend myself?
No.
You want to let me defend myself?
Nah.
It's not. All right, go ahead. Talk. I'll let you talk. Go ahead, talk.
Yes. So we had his argument.
You're a jerk.
Aaron Hernandez, my fantasy tight end at the time, I was saying he's a great tight end. He's more talented at this point in his career than Chris Cooley
is. That's not my point.
And Chris Cooley, the argument for Chris Cooley was so strong and definitive. Now you just heard it. It's taped, hopefully.
Yeah, but
Chris Cooley should have been released a year ago.
Yeah.
So therefore, you contradicted yourself.
Nah, not at all.
In a big way.
Well, in fact, on Twitter, excuse me.
Thank you.
Ray, @Pettis Ryan says, yes, they should have cut Fred Davis. Fred Davis took his job.
They should have cut him?
Yeah, absolutely.
But that's
the minority.
Steve Tasker.
That's the minority. @GarlicFeet. Ooh, weird name.
That's because he's not a Redskins fan.
I know. @GarlicFeet says, hell no, looking forward to a new season. And Snyder and Shanny pulled this on Cooley. Redskins Nation BS. Some dude said, there's another one.
Can I say something?
Go ahead, man.
I did say last time I was here, which I'm rarely here, so you can find, even though I'm in every paragraph, so it'd be hard to find what Shaw was on. But I did say I thought RG3 could establish a nice
rapport with Chris Cooley?
Yeah, I did say that because Chris Cooley is a great teammate. I will say that. But as far as his ability to perform at a high level in this league, I think his best days are behind him.
See, I think it's false. That's my problem. Like, I think that we're going off of him being hurt. Yes,
well, that's what
I'm
saying.
That's true.
Absolutely.
But this season, he's been healthy. This is the healthiest he's been coming into camp. So, to me, I'm going to always judge Chris Cooley, unless he doesn't produce as a healthy Chris Cooley. I'm going to judge Chris Cooley off a healthy Chris Cooley, not judging him off a hurt Chris Cooley. Because look at every situation dictates its own. People thought Randy Moss was done when he went to Oakland, went to the Patriots, and then he was Randy Moss again. Every situation dictates something else. Rather being your teammates involved in your play or being injured or whatever. When you are healthy, then let's judge him. Let's not say he's done because he played suspect hurt.
You can't compare the two. Randy Moss, that was a self-motivation thing. He was motivated by the environment in New England. He was stuck out there in that terrible organization called
the Raiders. No, you had Andrew Walters. It's called having Andrew Walters throw you the ball and carry
Collins. All right, that's what I'm saying. The environment was horrible.
That situation's dictating
your play.
Okay,
Chris Cooley loves the Redskins. The environment
again,
never
bothered him. Again, look at me. I said situations dictate play. The situation in Oakland was the teammates and the quarterbacks you had playing with Randy Moss. The situation dictating Chris Cooley's play is injuries. That's the difference. Now, Grant, give Chris Cooley let Chris Cooley become healthy, and let's assess him on that merit. Let's not assess him because, he's been hurt. There are a lot of NFL players that play bad hurt.
Randy Moss is an extreme talent. Chris Cooley is not on that
level. You're going away from my argument. You're going to basis of my argument. But that's not the basis of my argument.
No. Let me get to my point.
Go ahead.
Basically, what I'm saying is you can't compare the two. It's not apples to apples. Because physically, in the NFL, it's a brutal game, physically. So it's harder to overcome injuries in this league and perform. Look at Clinton Portis. Why isn't he playing?
He's playing because of injuries.
He's playing
running back.
His talent.
He's playing running back.
It doesn't matter.
That's a totally different position. And we all know that.
It doesn't matter. I'm just saying injury. The similarity is injuries. The similarity with Randy Moss isn't injuries.
The point
I'm making. So the common denominator is injuries.
That's not my point. My point is situations. That you always got to. You always have to include situations of what's going on.
One hard hit and Chris Cooley's hurting again.
Don't, not Dick
Randy Moss.
Not at all. Not at all.
Had Matt Cassel come and still played well.
The problem with Chris Cooley.
It's the environment that messed up.
The problem
with
Chris Cooley was his knees. His knees were healthy. He rushed it in. He rushed it during the strike situation, so he came back rushed. What a full year. Without a full. Not being. I'm giving you the truth. I'm not giving you BS.
How do you brush your knees back during a strike?
Listen, he was hurting. No. Because now you're just trying to argue. Just be arguing.
No, I'm not.
No. He can't. Let me paint the picture for you. He got hurt the year before the strike. Didn't have a full training camp to get healthy. Couldn't go through treatment. Can't do nothing. So he came into the
Good
season
point.
Already hurt. That's why he missed out. That's why basically two seasons were lost. Two seasons were lost from him. Before he got hurt, he had over 700-800 yards as a tight end. Before he got hurt. So when he got hurt and came back, that season was already done. It's a wash. So two seasons were based on, okay, the strike season and the year before. So he was hurt. When he was healthy, which was that third year, he was still putting up 700-800 yards with a bad Jim Zorn offense.
Well, Jim Zorn, the year Jim Zorn was last year, Chris Cooley actually had surgery in the room. So he was hurt back then
But towards the end of the season, by that time his season was already done. But he already put his numbers up. He already put his numbers up. That's my point. Like give Chris Cooley a full healthy season and let us dictate if he's done or not. That's my argument.
Yeah, it's hard to do that when the National Football League is such a what do you want to call it? Like I said, a physical game. It's a physical league. It's a physical game. It's difficult to wait on injuries, man. You got to move on.
I don't argue that. Like him being cut does not. That's not my argument. To be totally honest with you, saying he's done, I think that could be this.
I said his best days are behind him. That's what I meant. I still think he can be productive, but as far as the Cooley from his younger days,
it's gonna be hard to match.
Oh, absolutely, that's what I'm saying. Some people like Randy Moss are able, and no matter things. You know what I mean?
I'm not gonna argue. I'm gonna argue with that.
Too much talk about Chris Cooley.
I know, man. I feel like I didn't know all the tweets, but it's okay. I'll talk about that later. Brian Westbrook is retired.
Fans.
Yeah, I know. New topic. Brian Westbrook is going to retire as an Eagle. Your thoughts of Brian Westbrook, or do you even care?
No.
All right. Will, you're not here. So Brian Westbrook, good big ups to you, local kid. Great job. Last week, LeBron James came up with a $300 shoe.
You said show.
I know. No, I fixed. Oh, yeah. That said show. Yeah. A $300 shoe. Ridiculous. That's all I'm going to say. That's ridiculous.
It's more Nike than LeBron. I don't understand.
But you
LeBron is an employee. Bottom line. Mm-hmm. Why should he care? He's making plenty of dollars. Why should he care what Nike wants to do? And the funny thing is, people are going to buy the shoe.
That's the sad thing about
it. So it has nothing to do with LeBron. If you're going to go buy it, hey, I don't agree with young ladies taking their clothes off, but people are going to support it.
That's true. That's a good point.
Unfortunately.
But, I mean, couldn't he take the route like Shaq? Shaq decided, okay, I'm not going to have my folks paying $150 for a
shoe. When's the last time you bought a pair of Shaqs?
Never.
Exactly.
That's like not my point.
Reebok, tried to make a Jumpman type symbol. Come on, man. I would have got the mirror signs before I got the Shaqs.
Don't do that to me. Don't do that to me.
And like I said, if people are going to buy it, you're going to sell it. I bought some shoes before that were close to $300, but this is when Jordan weren't a such thing as Jordan retros at the time. You had to go and you had to search on certain websites to find old Jordan shoes that weren't sold anymore. So I came close to Kanye West Nikes that came out exclusively in only a certain amount of stores were sold at nearly $300. So it's not a big deal. It really isn't. LeBron actually caught flack. He's catching flack. And that's because a lot of his supporters are in the poor neighborhoods of the United States. True. However, it's a business, unfortunately. These are the same people. Your biggest fans watch you from the nosebleed seats. Kevin Garnett had a good commercial a long time ago where he had the young urban kids, come down, get on the front row. And he had the brothers with the suits, the executives. They had to go up top because they weren't real fans. But unfortunately, there are some kids now I don't want to say poor, but less developed, lower middle class communities who are going to spend their last dollars, their entire paycheck, to buy these shoes, unfortunately. And that's because nobody's educating them properly. So it is what it is. And LeBron, he can relate to these kids, so he should know better. Mm-hmm. But again, he's not the one making the final decision. And Nike is in.
But he's LeBron, though. He's LeBron.
He is LeBron, but they're
he
Nike
can say though.
Nike,
can
Nike's
say.
Putting plenty of money in your pocket. Money talks.
Okay, that's that. I understand that. That's what that means. That. Do you think Jordan and LeBron, they do our well? We both black. We both black. We African Americans. You think they doing us a big disservice? Because I mean, that's who that's the target audience.
Yeah, and so is Nike. Absolutely. It cost probably a couple bucks to make the shoe.
Yeah.
So the money you make, and then you pay that worker in Asia what 25 cents a day.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Now that has a lot to do with communism in Asia. I'm not even going to go through all that because I understand.
Preach, son. Go ahead. Talk.
No, I'm just
saying. Being real.
It's the same beef I had with Apple. Apple, their employees over in other countries or another country, killing themselves because they don't make that much money. But Apple is what one of the richest companies in the world. Look at Apple's stock over the past several years. It's rising. And then they just win this lawsuit against Samsung. You would think, hey, why don't you give some money to your broke workers? Not going to happen. Again, I know it's more than just Apple's choosing, but it's a combination of both. It's not a free enterprise system in Asia, clearly. It needs to be. It should be. But hey, that's the way of the world, and I can't change that. LeBron, at the same time, maybe does have the power to make a change. I'm not sure. Can he opt out of his contract? Probably not. Does he want to? Probably not.
Probably not.
He doesn't want to sell Reeboks. He doesn't want to. Adidas are actually nice. I wear Adidas. That's why I wear Adidas,
but
and I don't wear
Nikes. They're not Nikes, though.
Adidas, apparently, a lot of people think they do the same thing as Nike. I don't personally feel that way. I feel like Adidas is a much better company than Nike is. Although they do have some similarities. I won't disagree with that. But from LeBron, solely from that standpoint, I think, he doesn't have as much say as we might think just because he's quote-unquote LeBron. Just, it is what it is.
Well, it's been a good topic. Like I said, we mentioned it has been a real good topic. We mentioned Chris Cooley, but the Redskins had a couple of other moves they made this week. Ray already mentioned the kicker, which was the main one, but which was hilarious. But
Kevin Barnes was traded, right?
Yeah, Kevin Barnes was traded, too. Yeah. So we go back, we'll talk about that and the Redskins preseason game, which finished up about an hour ago, 30 minutes to an hour ago. Urban Sports Scene on Eyes Radio. You dig?
You can hear the Eyes Radio Network while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free news and talk mobile app available for your smartphone. And when you download Stitcher to hear the Eyes Radio Network, you have a chance to win some money. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in the App Store. Just takes a few seconds. Then during registration, hit the Where Did You Hear About Us link and enter Eyes Radio, EYESRADIO, to get automatically entered to win $100. That's right, I said it, $100. The latest episode of the show will be waiting for you in your favorites. You'll get access to lots of other amazing shows too. Always available to you on demand, no syncing. It's Stitcher Smart Radio. Don't forget to enter promo code EYESRADIO when you're registered. That's EYESRADIO.
Once for you and me, living out our dreams, we're all right where we should be. With my arms out wide, I open my eyes.
Shout out to Urban Sports Team and Wally and Will. Love y'all, appreciate y'all. Keep up the support. We'll keep the hits coming.
A sky. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene on Eyes Radio Network. Chris Cooley, if you're listening, look, it's nothing personal. It's just business. And that's the point I was trying to make. Again, it's the Urban Sports Scene, Eyes Radio Network, eyesradio.com. You can also check us out on walio.podbean.com, iTunes, Twitter, Facebook. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. And if you have questions or comments, email the Urban Sports Scene at urbansports@eyesradio.com. Also, the Urban Sports Scene is featured. I don't know who. I guess, are you still on the Sports Crib? The Sports Crib podcast? BlogTalkRadio.com/WC Stiller Fan. I like WC Stiller Fan. I don't like
it's
his
produced.
Pictures.
It's produced by him. I don't even know who really hosts it anymore.
He doesn't host anymore?
No, he just produces it. Everybody.
So he doesn't talk?
The new dude.
Okay, we don't know his name.
Yeah, I know.
I'm sorry. I should have just
I should know.
Information.
He's a cool dude, though. He's a cool dude, though.
Fourth preseason games. Do they matter?
No. It only matters for the people who need to make the team.
Well, see, it doesn't even matter in that case because you're probably not going to make the team that you're on. You're probably going to be Danny Woodhead and play for another team. He ran a 4-touchdown game in the 4th preseason game with the Jets years ago. He ended up signing with New England.
Yeah.
So it, I don't think it matters for
anybody.
Well,
I think for certain coaches, like for Shanahan, I think it does matter because he likes to breed competition, and these games really, he really, it does matter for him. I don't like him, so don't get twisted. Like, it does matter for him, but I do agree with you. For the majority of the NFL, the fourth game doesn't matter. Like, a lot of people have their players picked out in that third game.
Hey, I don't watch it. I don't think you watch it.
No, it's
I don't think MC Hader even watches it.
No.
So it doesn't matter who watches that on the 4th preseason game. There was one in primetime night, though, I think. NFL Network had a game.
The Patriots Giants and the Patriots.
And it was 3-3 at my last check.
The Patriots won. Giants won 6-3.
Exactly. Who's going to make the roster from that?
Oh.
But I kind of jumped ahead. The third preseason game was the most anticipated. RG3 versus Slug. But, I'm sorry. Before we get there.
No, you're cool. That's cool. We can go there.
Graham
Cano. Because you already mentioned the kicker.
My bad.
Yeah, you mentioned the kicker.
I did mention the kicker. Okay.
So there's no need.
All right.
Let's go with two. Yeah.
RG3 and Luck. What's your thoughts, man?
I was at the game. It was an entertaining game.
It's a preseason game? Are you kidding?
No, it was RG3 versus Luck.
Did you tailgate?
Nah, I don't do that.
I don't care if it was Jordan versus
Bird.
The
food over there is too expensive, dude. I got this little box pizza. You know what I mean? Pepperoni, Papa John's. It's like little small, like
pan.
I know
some of personal pan pizza.
Oh, my God.
It's like the bucket.
Dude, that was like $10. It's terrible. Like $5. The chicken wing, the chicken tenders and fries were like $10.
Yeah, it's expensive.
I feel like
that's the territory. This is why less attendance is being recorded at so many NFL games because of this. Not only that, but also HDTV. And it's comfortable in your house.
Yeah.
Food is free unless you order.
Ain't that a blessing.
You get a whole pizza for the same price you get that.
That's what I'm saying.
did you say that?
Pizza Hut? Yeah, no pizza. No, I didn't say that.
Okay,
Pizza Hut, I can get, like, they got a special $10 pizza for anything, and I can get a large.
Is $5.
No, exactly.
You
want
to go cheap? Hey. I'm not an advocate of going to the games. Atlanta, week 5, playing the Redskins. I don't think I'm going to go. I have better tickets this time, too.
Oh, really?
I got tickets, too. I was in the shade.
But I got tickets. I think I'm going to Cam Newton game, Cam Newton Skins game.
Oh, yeah?
Club seats.
What date is that?
Oh, shoot. I think it's like...
I'm saying, it's going to be cold around that time?
Like, yeah, November.
Oh, well, see, yeah, you can have it, man. I'm not doing that no more. I wore 4 pair of socks last time. I still couldn't feel my feet. But I got to heckle T.J. Duckett. Because I got there before anybody else did.
Yeah.
Me and Harold did. And Ducker was the only one on the field. And he just looked at me.
What a slow, fat dude. I can't stand T.J. Duckett.
I don't like any fat dudes who can't get rolling.
I know. It takes him a year to do it. Like, Jerome Bettis was like that to me. Like, I couldn't stand
at the
Jerome.
End of his career.
Yeah.
No, he was agile early on.
Yeah, he was agile.
Jerome Bettis,
he had a quick burst.
You.
He had a burst. Yeah, he had a burst.
Ron Dane in college did the same thing. But in NFL.
NFL, he was like,
yeah,
T.J. Duckett.
Absolutely. Michael Turner starting to get to that point, unfortunately. Michael
but
Turner,
he still
once
he still
when he gets to
though.
The open field, though, he's good.
He still produces.
But he's got to get downhill, too. I don't like downhill backs. Mike Tolbert was a fantasy guy, and he won't be that this year, guys. Trust me, he's going to take a long time to get started.
All right, but let's get back on the topic. You talking about, it's a good back. You got me cracking up. Luck looked good. Luck looked really good.
Luck
really
beast.
Good. Luck is a beast.
Beast.
He's the truth.
He's like Bryce Harper. He's got potential.
Shut up. Luck was actually
number
really good.
Number one pick, too.
Now, Luck was Luck is like he's gonna produce. He's like the real thing. He's gonna produce at a high level.
He did it in college. Bryce right. didn't. Yeah.
Yeah. And RG3 looked good too. I wish he got more work. Like, that's my thing. He looked exciting. He had 2 touchdown drives, but I wish he had more work. That's all.
Yeah, I think he's holding back. Well,
he's
maybe
holding back.
Shanahan
yeah.
The keepers and a lot of the things that he's capable of doing. I think Shanahan did not want to show his hand.
He's not.
In preseason, which is smart. It's going to be hard to game plan. Put that brother in the dome, New Orleans.
AstroTurf?
Yeah.
That speed.
He's going to do something week one. Can you keep him healthy with that offensive line is the question.
Yeah, that's the problem.
With Shanahan's offense, it's an opportunity there for him to get out the pocket, which he's clearly good at. Hey, we'll see what he does. I don't take much from preseason for anybody. I'm just being honest. Again, I think Shanahan is not allowing him to do what he's best at, which is move around, and he has a cannon. Which we did see his deep ball didn't look as accurate to some in that game. And in the Chicago game before that, a lot of people were disappointed with some of the decision making, holding onto the ball. But I don't take much from preseason. I'm going based solely on potential, just like most. And I think Andrew Luck is a better quarterback.
Yeah, Andrew Luck is a
even guy. Before that game.
Of course.
Again, I'm not taking much from preseason either, but Andrew Luck also shows something. Randall he's a sideline reporter now.
Yeah, you know that.
Gosh, man, you can't just chill after you finish football.
But to your point about RG3's bombs, really those bombs weren't even his fault. Hankerson couldn't locate the ball, and Garcon loafed it until he saw that he had a chance to catch the ball. So you know, he throws a nice deep ball. His deep ball is pretty nice. I do agree. I think he played better against the Colts than he did the Bears. The Bears, he held on to the ball. I didn't like his footwork. Against the Colts, I think he improved. That's one thing about I love improvement. I think the kid improved. Again, I wish he had more work in the preseason and in the third game. But Shanny was happy with it. Well, let's see what happens against New Orleans. But let's move on to this preseason game. The Redskins won 30-3 in this preseason game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Again, like Ray said, the fourth preseason game really doesn't matter. But there were a couple guys who needed to show something, and I think they did to make this 53-man roster. First off, Banks had a big game. I believe he had a 40-yard reception, and then he had a 40-yard reverse. And I think he had also had about over 70-some yards on the return game. So he had like over 170-some-odd yards as total offense. So Banks, to me, may solidify his spot on the team. You had Royster and Helu had to show something because Alfred Morris and Ball both played well. I think Helu had two touchdowns. Royster had a touchdown. Helu may have had over 77 yards or something like that. And Royster had about 44 yards. So in that regard, the running back battle, the running back's position looks kind of filled up. I want to see how my man Crawford would turn out. Richard Crawford, he got busy, had a pick. I want him to be on the team and eventually take D Hall's job because everyone knows I can't stand D Hall. You ain't see the game, right, Ray?
No.
Yeah, believe me. Take everything I'm saying right now as gospel because all this happened and I'm watching it. The old replay. We watching the old replay right now, and Royce is about to score a touchdown.
You a D Hall advocate though, right?
I mean, advocate. You mean this guy who I dislike?
No, I mean somebody who vouched for him. You wanted him on the squad?
No, not at all. That wasn't me.
Oh, okay.
That was never me.
Okay, I'm mistaken, but yeah, I'm an Atlanta fan. I know all about D Hall. we're fine without him.
Yeah, Al. Matter of fact, Al is a D Hall fan. I am not a D Hall fan.
D Hall is not even as fast either, which was
exactly
his entire game.
Exactly, he's not as fast.
But
player.
Don't tell him that. He has a confidence 1,000 trillion. The referee tonight, this replacement referee, looks like Jim Moore Jr. My gosh, he looks just like him. It's been killing me. I was trying to think, who does he look like? Ryan Kerrigan has that Hoover High look. Did you ever watch that show on TV, Hoover High in Alabama?
What the hell is Hoover High?
John Parker Wilson. A lot of people went there.
ESPN?
They used to have a show called Two A Days, I think, on MTV.
Oh, that's
what
it was.
They play on ESPN all the time, though. Hoover, Alabama. If you see, they have like a vicious comb over. And that's what Ryan Kerrigan has. I know he supported the Eyes Radio and everything, so.
Go ahead, yeah.
Glad to have his voice on there. But tell me you got to have a good haircut. Look at Santana.
Oh, man.
My gracious.
All right, anyway, let's move on down. Got some more stuff to talk about.
We got to cut off this whole time.
We got to speed the show on, man.
Okay.
We got a lot on here. All right, my bad.
Go ahead.
Continue, man. I don't want to cut you off, man.
I don't want to have a discussion about haircuts, but that's all right, though. Go ahead.
Oh, my God. Anyway, last week we talked about Clint Portis, him retiring, where he ranked in terms of all-time Redskins running backs. I posed this question on Twitter, matter of fact, and I thought it would be a good topic. Who was more of an iconic Redskin, LeVar Arrington or Clint Portis? I even asked both of them.
Not even close. Yeah, I know. I saw that.
You saw that?
Yeah. Nobody responded, though.
Nah, a lot of people responded.
No, I'm talking about one of them.
Those two? Nah, I was hoping.
Clint Portis, is he on Twitter still?
Yeah.
He's back on Twitter.
Yeah,
now,
he has a new Twitter handle.
Okay. Yeah, they don't want to respond to controversy. I don't think it's a debate. I think Clint Portis is...
Hands down, man, yeah. True, that's true. Yeah, everybody...
No offense to LeVar, but his body of work just isn't as good as
Clint
Portis. And Clint Portis is known for more than just... what he did on running the ball. Blocking.
Yeah.
His characters, Southeast Leroy, whatever they were called.
Southeast Jerome. Yeah, Southeast Jerome.
Yeah, a lot of these things that he did, he's known for more than just, you know, he's actually one of those people in the community that gets a lot of love. LeVar does too, though, for that matter. But I don't want to get involved in any controversy. I was going to say something, but I'm not. I'm going to leave it at that.
I'm going to say, go ahead, at Red Skinner on Twitter, CP. Majority CP, really. I don't feel like reading all of them say CP, 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 but the majority of CP. I do have one interesting one. It was on here. Let me search and find it real quick.
Big Daddy Wookie.
Go ahead, not Big Daddy Wookie.
It's always one that's going to vouch for you.
Yeah, it's at, here you go. I know it is.
And Trish, his wife went to college with us.
Yeah, I know, right? It's at Left Coast GFX. Oh, tough one. LeVar knocked Aikman out. Porter's second leading rusher in team history. All right, so we're comparing Porter's actually stats-wise what he's done with the organization, and LeVar's one play against Aikman. Don't get me wrong, LeVar has a lot of big plays for Washington Redskins. The play against Carolina, we had an interception for a touchdown, would help turn the season around, and also with the season Ray was referring to about with Marty Schottenheimer.
That's what I'm talking about. That's the Carolina one.
I know. I said that's what I'm saying. Referring to what Ray's referring to about, and also him knocking out Troy Aikman.
That's just terrible, man.
But that is though.
Listen,
think
here.
About it.
Clinton Portis was one of those people to me that backed up what he said.
Yeah.
LeVar Arrington, on the other hand, he talked a lot of trash to Tampa Bay Buccaneers one time. He's like, "Sap, I'm gunning for you," and the Redskins got destroyed that game by Tampa Bay.
Shut up. Yeah.
Absolutely destroyed.
Oh my God! But big ups to everybody who commented about it. Wish I could read them all.
Who's the next legendary Redskin? Is my question. Is it Cooley? Is it Arrington?
Cooley is the next legendary.
There is none. Nobody will go to Ken and get the reception that Green.
Oh, you mean the next Hall of Fame? You talking Hall of Fame Redskin?
No, legendary. That's almost the same thing.
You mean a Hall of Fame?
Because
like,
none of them are Hall of Famers. LeVar,
none of them are.
Or Cooley.
The next Hall of Fame Redskin.
I'm not saying Hall of Fame. Legendary.
Legendary. I mean, legendary is like a Hall of Fame Redskin.
We're going to use that for a while.
Because if you're going to say legendary Redskin, like Portis would be a legendary Redskin.
Oh, yeah. Chris Samuels.
Chris Samuels is a legendary Redskin.
All right. Answer my own question.
Yeah. Thank you. Good job, sir. You did an awesome job of answering your own question. You should host yourself. You should be like Coward. That's your dude.
I actually could do that.
You think you could? All right, let's go. I'm going to produce that. I'm going to produce a
two
show.
2 or 3 months from now.
I'll produce that show. I'm going to produce that show where you can host and do everything yourself. I'm sick of doing shows by myself.
So we're talking about T.O. and Vince Young next? This is going to be fun.
Yeah, man.
T.O.'s a nutcase.
You know it.
He cannot hide his emotions.
No way. Let's not even waste time. We'll go commercial break. Like Ray said, we talk T.O., Vince Young, Urban Sports Scene, Eyes Radio. You got anything to say? No, you dig? Oh, boy.
Time out! Okay, guys, Summers really had his bell rung and could have a concussion. I'm pulling him out for the game. Rodriguez, you're in for Summers.
Come on, coach. It's just a ding. I'll shake it off.
Yeah, he's tough. Plus, we need to win this to make the playoffs.
Listen, we're a team and we need to look out for each other. Concussions are serious. No game is more important than your health.
Take concussions out of play. If you're a coach, know the warning signs and never let athletes return to play before a healthcare professional says it's okay. A message from CDC.
This is Fred Jackson of the Buffalo Bills, and you're listening to the Eyes Radio Network.
You can listen to us on Sunday nights at 9 Eastern Time on the Apple G's Radio Show. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/Apple G's. The show is hosted by Coach and Vivian. They didn't have a show last week. They had a tape show. Hopefully they'll have a show Sunday and I'll be on there. You should be on there, man. I keep trying to tell one of y'all to be on there. Actually, I won't be on there. I take that back. We had the draft.
Yeah, I can't be on there.
Yeah, well, I can't be there Sunday. I apologize already in advance. But I will be on the show the week after that. I have a lot going on Sunday. My niece is getting baptized, and then I have a fantasy football draft to attend and run. So it's hard.
Is she being christened or baptized?
Baptized.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dog. Sounds good, though. It's a good thing. It's a blessing. You know what I mean? I got to drive all the way to Hampton. I have good stories about Hampton. I love Hampton. I love the area. Did a lot of Hampton homecomings.
Yeah, you can go see where Bubba Chuck played ball at. You know, do some
Bubba Chuck.
Do some historic.
Who is Bubba Chuck?
Iverson.
Oh, that's his nickname?
Yeah.
For real?
That's his Tri-Water nickname.
Tri-Water nickname. Bubba Chuck. AI. Anyway, T.O., and Vince Young, both were cut over the weekend. Ray's man, Ray enjoys this because Vince
Young. Terrell Owens got outplayed by Braylon, we know that. Yeah. He also had his normal blow-ups.
But that's not a big
deal. It's a great movie called The Negotiator.
Here you go.
And have you seen that movie?
Yeah, with Samuel Jackson.
Samuel Jackson. Yeah. Remember he was talking to Chris Sabian?
Yeah, I know.
And he said, you were wrong about me. What if I was right about them? Remember he said
that?
It's a classic line in that movie.
Yeah, I know.
What if you were wrong about me? What if I was right about Vince Young? I said from the gate, it was not good. And finally, I've been vindicated again. But this one has an exclamation point because he is truly done. This dude dropped that interception.
You think he's done?
Yeah, he's well done too. Like,
oh, but well, that's gonna be a question.
Like one of my old steaks.
So you think
never did rare steaks?
You think he's done? You know what? I feel bad for
now. Get me Sabian. That's what I'm talking about. This is a bluff. Get me Sabian.
Man. You know what? Truth be told, man, you never.
That's my new nickname. You know, Chris Sabian.
About Vince Young.
That's a good name.
Shut up. For Vince Young, you should never. This is a lesson that we all should learn. You should never bite the hand that feeds you. Jeff Fisher made you, and then you complain, and instead of trying to work out a situation, you tried to. You thought you were big and bad or something, and that ruined your whole career. And, like, really, I'm serious. Like, Jeff Fisher made you, and then you go and get all arrogant, and basically, that was the downfall of your career. Messing with Jeff Fisher was the downfall of your career. And for T.O., which I do feel bad for, I think T.O. can still play in this league. He still has ability. The best thing about a wide receiver is, obviously, you know, you need to have hands easily. But T.O. gets open. And that's the hard thing to do in the NFL is to get open. And he can still get open, and he can still make explosive plays. Some team needs him. I feel like he might be blackballed, though, unfortunately. There are a lot of teams in the NFL that need a wide receiver. Miami Dolphins have nobody. The St. Louis Rams have nobody. There are a lot of teams that need a wide receiver in the league. And if everybody just ignored, or not ignored, or just looked at what T.O. can do for them on the field, then he would have a job. Unfortunately, that's not how the NFL works nowadays. It's all about, you know, the image and everything else. You agree? Disagree?
You were wrong about me, but what if I was right about that?
Shut up, man. All right, quick question.
That's the classic
guy. All right. Chad Johnson was released too as well not too long ago. Between the three, who has a better child, a better chance to latch on with a team?
Chris Sabian. No, I'm just kidding. I don't think.
You say Chris Sabian for real? Not Chris Sabian.
Chad Johnson's in the best shape. No, actually, I shouldn't say that. No, T.O.'s coming off injury. Chad Johnson's in the best shape.
So that he can get a job.
He's in
over.
The best shape. T.O. is the smartest of the three.
Yeah.
Chad Johnson will have a hard time picking up an offense. if he retires to
what
else.
That's what seems like now.
So that may be a downfall. You would need somebody to step right in. T.O. is one of those people, he can step right in. He's clearly done that. He left Philly pretty abruptly.
Yeah.
and he stepped into Dallas and was fine. T.O. is hungrier because he needs the money more than either one of these two guys.
So you think T.O. will be the one?
I don't think either one. None of them will be.
But I mean, out of the three, though, if you had to take one out of three, who has the best chance to get a job in the NFL?
If I had to pick one?
Yeah, if you had to pick one. Out of the three.
I would pick Chad Johnson.
You would?
Yeah. I wouldn't pick no Terrell Owens. No, seriously, he can't catch, and he's coming off an injury like Chris Cooley. He's probably not.
Subliminal. Well,
give me Sabian.
Factual. I'm agree with you, but for a different reason. Chad Johnson just flat out younger. He's younger than T.O.
He's not younger than Vince Young.
Nah, he ain't younger than Vince Young.
Vince Young, Jamarcus Russell, they gonna go over Algie Crumpler's house for the first week. They gonna all eat.
Ray, I'm gonna be real.
Devon Kirkland's probably hosting this party.
Vince Young is done. He has the opportunity in Philadelphia to learn. Didn't happen. And I mean, it wasn't his fault. I mean, like I said, you bit the hand that fed you. Jeff Fisher would have, if you had rolled it out with Jeff Fisher, you would have a decent, you would still be in the league, and you would still be a starting quarterback for the Tennessee Titans. Instead, You know, you was like Willie Beeman. You
Dude,
felt yourself.
Don't even go to Jeff Fisher. You had Bud Adams who was vouching for you.
Saying.
Who was contemplating, who should I pick?
Yeah, but see, look.
He had a LeBron moment. Exactly. Who should I pick? Vince Young.
Or Jeff Fisher.
Or Jeff Fisher. And now Vince Young is not chosen by anyone.
That's what I'm saying.
You idiot. You
I'm saying
fat,
you.
Sorry, frisbee throwing bum. I told you he wouldn't be good. What if I was right about him? I told you that a long time ago. I knew he wasn't good.
I'm changing the subject,
man. I knew he wasn't good.
I ain't trying to cut you
off. One Pro Bowl after everybody got injured or said they didn't want to play. One playoff appearance, man. Tim Tebow and Vince Young have a lot in common.
Ooh, that's a good one. Who would you take, Tim Tebow or Vince Young?
Neither one. I don't like neither one of those guys. I can't stand neither one.
Moving on down. Russell. Speaking of T.O., I guess T.O.'s former teammate, Russell Wilson, is now the starting quarterback for the Seahawks. What do you think is the poor decision of getting Matt Flynn if you're going to make Russell Wilson your starting quarterback? Was that like a poor decision if you thought in the back of your mind you had a good opportunity to get Russell Wilson in the draft? Because now you have a high-priced backup. Well, is he really paid that much?
No, not really.
Not
$18 million, I think.
Okay, so he's decent. But for a backup, it's enough, though, right?
Well, it was a competition because Russell Westbrook,
Russell Wilson.
Sorry, he showed a lot, and you had no choice. Just like Michael Vick and Cole, you want Cole to be your starting quarterback. Michael Vick just showed too much that you could not overlook it.
Yeah.
And you can't overlook the way Russell Westbrook is playing. Russell Wilson.
I feel you.
I'm not coming no more. I love Russell Wilson, by the way.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson, I like that guy, man. I liked him in college. And I felt as though he probably should have been drafted a little higher than what he went.
I agree.
But, hey, it is what it is. African-American quarterback. Like, Vince Young messes us up, you know.
And Shut up, man.
Hey, people like Vince Young messes us up.
No, it's not.
So you make it hard for true talent.
Shut up. Now you're just being
ignorant. It's the truth.
No, what happened to
Russell? Anytime Tavares Jackson, who has confidence issues, make the team over you.
No, we didn't talk about that. That's a problem. That's a problem.
Yeah, Spurgeon win is smiling.
That's a problem. Tavares Jackson... They cut you because they got Tavares Jackson.
Russell Westbrook. Give me savior. Russell Wilson is not in that category of Spurgeon win and
Vince Young?
No, yeah, Vince Young, absolutely. I won't go name him yet, though. Okay. Andre Ware is another one that comes to mind. What's the dude's name? Casey Printers. The list goes on.
Oh, Casey Printers. What is he, like an NFL Europe dude?
Yeah, he played for Kansas City. No, he wasn't expected to be.
Oh, I thought it was NFL.
You had Michael Bishop.
Michael Bishop was good. I like
college. Willie Dantzler. A lot of these black quarterbacks.
You like Michael Bishop? Michael Bishop, if he got a starting job.
Rohan Davey.
Rohan Davey wasn't that good.
That's who Vince Young is now.
Yeah,
right?
Rohan
He's
Davey.
Rohan Davey.
Oh, Dantzler could have been okay. He could have been.
Yeah.
They may have changed position, didn't they?
Yeah.
And he played
for Atlanta.
They screwed that dude.
Yeah, it's not meant to be. We'll see what Michigan's quarterback has this Saturday.
Robinson.
I hope he just plays calm, cool, collective. It's no college football.
Matter of fact, next thing. You're a good man. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, matter of fact, after the break, we'll talk about the Michigan-Alabama. It's a big game. Ray's just helped me out with the segue. That's why, you know, when you got Ray here, man, and Ray we trust, man.
Call me Chris Avian.
You know what I'm saying? Urban Sports Scene on Eyes Radio.
Urban Sports Scene.
I know. Let me say it again. Urban Sports Scene on Eyes Radio.
This fourth preseason game was kind of crowded.
Yes, boy.
I'm Peyton Manning. On the football field, I always have to prepare for the unexpected. My teammates and I train to think fast and be ready ahead of the game. You can be ready with the help of your local American Red Cross. The American Red Cross can help all of us prepare for life's emergencies. Take life-saving CPR or first aid courses. Make an emergency plan or learn how to build a disaster supplies kit. Contact the American Red Cross today.
Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org to learn more.
Hi, I'm Sonny Jurgensen. Listening to the Eyes Radio Network.
Urban Sports Day, we're back. Urban Sports Day on Eyes Radio, matter of fact. Talk about Michigan and Alabama. Big game Saturday. College football is back. And we got to talk about probably the biggest game of the weekend, Michigan versus Alabama. You mentioned Denard Robinson. So let's just go into it. Can Denard Robinson do anything with Alabama's defense?
Yeah, absolutely.
You think so?
It's the first game. Alabama's fresh. That's why he probably won't. But if he does, I would not be shocked.
Yeah.
Because if he takes his time, he's actually a decent passer. Mm-hmm. And we already know about his speed. There's nobody faster at quarterback. I don't care if it's RG3. I don't care if it's Vic. Nobody's been faster than Denard Robinson at quarterback.
You think he's faster than Vic than when Vic's in school? Excuse me.
I believe Vic said it himself. He's like Usain Bolt.
He is fast. I don't know. Vic was just so special. If he texted me, I don't think he ever been walked or anything. Denard has been walked.
Denard has to do so much more than Vic did, and Vic has a better arm, so Vic could actually throw. So they didn't ask him to run as much, but once he did run, it was so special. And he didn't get touched as much in college.
Who, Vic?
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. But Denard gets touched.
He gets banged out. On a regular base, though, he's running for his life almost. It's just tiring. But that's the fastest dude ever at quarterback.
You think so? I mean, I'm not going to argue with you. My thing is that the reason why I think he can have some success, I won't say he will dominate it.
Vince Young is failing now.
Huh? What'd you say?
Vince Young.
Shut up. I won't say. The only reason why I say he can have some success is that Alabama lost about three or four of their stars last season on defense. So with Hightower, the cornerbacks, with the safety Barron, and the guy the Cowboys drafted, the DB. I can't think of his name. Wrong guy. Somebody else drafted. Now Cowboys drafted Claiborne from LSU. But they lost two of their DBs, and they lost Barron, the safety. So they have players they lost already on a stellar defense from last season. So basically, they're just Alabama's putting out new kids out there to see if they can stop Denard Robinson. But Alabama always have great defensive players, either freshman, sophomore, whatever. They always recycle great defensive players under Nick Saban. So it's interesting. I want to see if Denard Robinson can do something with that defense.
Normally, we would say Denard Robinson, if you're listening. We know he's not listening. But if somebody knows him that can get him this information. Listen, Alabama never has a potent offense. Yeah. Keep it close. Stop the run. I don't know how Michigan's defense is this season coming in. I'm not real high on college football. As of right now, the Super Conference has really killed my motivation to like college football. I wasn't the most serious college football fan in the beginning anyway. I'm more a basketball guy, as people know. But if Michigan's defense can stop the run, they can keep it close. You get a tired, young defense out there. Denard Robinson, experienced, the fastest guy in college football. Yeah.
Well, I'll
he can make some plays. They're not going to beat Alabama though. Not week one when they're healthy. We'll see.
I'm a Michigan fan.
I wouldn't bet.
I know there was a big loss. They lost Mike Martin, who helped stop the run last season. Now he's a Tennessee Titan. If Michigan can stop the run, which I think the one thing about Michigan definitely last season under Brady Hoke, they can stop the run. You know, I think Alabama, out of all the SEC teams, is probably the team. It's a good matchup for Michigan. Now, the problem for me for Michigan is can they score on Alabama's defense? It's not about them being able to. I think they can contain Alabama's offense, to be totally honest with you. Trent Richardson's not there. They're gonna have to contain Lacy, because Lacy's a good back. They're gonna have to contain him. They don't have Julio Jones on this team. If they can stop Lacy and play good solid defense and offensively find a way to score, I think they can beat Alabama. I think it's better for Michigan to play an Alabama team who doesn't play a spread offense, like an Arkansas, rather, you know, or like an Arkansas or even an LSU. I think they can compete with this Bama team, because if you remember when Bama won the championship, the first go around with Saban, when they lost all the key players, they struggled. It's almost a similar story. They lost a lot of key players from last season. So I do think you can expect Bama to struggle a little bit. And I think Michigan can catch him at the right time. Because usually I think teams like Bama play their best ball towards the end of the season rather than the beginning.
Where's this game being played?
Oh, that's a good question. I believe it's in Bama.
It is? Usually they start these type of games at a neutral site.
I believe it's in Bama.
Okay. I have to check on that.
Not sure, but don't. But who has more to lose, Bama or Michigan? In your opinion?
Oh, Bama, absolutely.
Yeah. I think we're older.
Expectations are much higher.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. So you think Bama's going to win? Truth be told, I think Bama's going to probably win, but I'm a Michigan fan, so I have to go on my team. So I think Michigan probably pull it out. But let's go down. Since the beginning of the college season, who you think are some of the teams that probably what are the teams you think are going to win their conferences? Like, for instance, the SEC.
You have Alabama.
Yeah, Bama.
Who we just discussed. LSU has an experienced squad coming back. I'm thinking because Georgia, who has been down, actually is going to be good this year, more than likely. And then you got Spurrier in South Carolina, who
they got Lattimore.
Arkansas, if they had Petrino,
they would have
been better than Alabama. So those are the teams that I'm looking at. I still think Arkansas can be good, though. They're too talented not to be.
Yeah.
Will they be is the question. Hopefully they'll have that New Orleans Saints type attitude, have a chip on their shoulder, come in motivated and live up to what they should have been with Bobby Petrino, and also learn from that bad example that he set. I like Arkansas. South Carolina at this point has a good team, good coach, great coach, actually, great college coach. But if history serves me correct, South Carolina teams are inconsistent throughout the season.
I'm gonna say LSU for the same reason you said, for the same reason that you put out there about LSU. They're gonna bring back a veteran team and that team that could defend and play offense and will play great defense. So I'm gonna go with LSU on that side. Let's go with the ACC.
ACC. I'll let you go first.
I'm gonna go FSU.
FSU,
Florida State, Virginia Tech's still there, and they lost their big back David Wilson, but I like Florida State. Florida State's defense is just too real. I think it reminds me of the defenses they had in yesteryear.
I like Clemson, man.
You like Clemson?
Yeah, I think Clemson's better than Florida State.
You like the quarterback? Are they still the same quarterback?
Yeah, from last year.
Yeah,
he's better though. He's better now.
That's cool. I
like Clemson because actually, well, they got a test. They start off against Auburn, and Auburn is not. They're not the same Auburn, I guess, 2 years ago, but which they weren't that good anyway. It's had Cam Newton, but still SEC team. Week one is always a good indication of how good your football team can be if they're healthy. So I'm going with Clemson.
All right, go Big Ten. Who do you think is in Big Ten? The winner in the Big Ten?
Big Ten. You got Urban Meyer in the Big Ten now, which is interesting.
But they lost.
I know. But Urban Meyer, that dude is a winner.
That dude's a G.
He wins wherever he goes.
He's a G. I think it'll be year two when he starts to really take off, though.
Well, of course, more than likely. I'm sorry. Penn State is down. Big Ten is down.
Yeah, I know. It's an ugh conference.
It's one of those years where you don't necessarily want to put the Big Ten on that pedestal where it used to be.
Yeah, it's not the same.
So... I don't know.
All right. Well, I'll say this: it'll be between Michigan State, and I'll probably go Michigan.
I was thinking Michigan State, but
because Michigan State's defense is real,
inconsistent too.
The defense is real, but I'm gonna go with Michigan. I think Michigan's bringing back most of their starters. They just won the Sugar Bowl. Sugar Bowl last year against VTech. I think they're coming off a high, and I'm not just speaking just being biased. I actually think just due to the fact that we're having the Penn State, Ohio State is going through their situation. I think this is the best time. I mean, Michigan's the most consistent team out of everybody else. I think to win the Big Ten. Because Russell Wilson's not in Wisconsin, that's who made Wisconsin real attractive, was Russell Wilson. And you know, Ball is still there, so Ball will probably produce. But I think that quarterback play is going to be very essential to what Wisconsin needs to do to repeat. Look at
Jim
Moore
Jr.,
team.
Man. Look at that. Dude.
He does like Jim
Moore. I'll go Michigan State. Yeah.
Michigan State? Yeah. All right. Stop. Mike, technical difficulties, I tell you. Pac-12.
USC, brother. I'm sorry.
Go again. Say again. Sorry.
USC.
Mike. USC?
Got to go USC. They have a squad this year. On both sides, you got the best quarterback, one of the best quarterbacks in the nation coming back. Come on now, you got to go to USC. Pro style offense, Tampa 2D.
USC. I'm gonna go with USC. I think I do. I think they have a lot of offense. Defense, I think, is gonna be suspect. The defense is gonna be very suspect. But you got Woods. You got Barkley. and the running back from Penn State, they got the transfer, was one of the best running backs in the country. I think they have a dangerous team, a very potent team. Let's go to, we need to keep talking about that part. Let's go to the Big 12?
Yeah, you can go to Big 12.
Big 12. I'll start it off. I'm not going with the norm. I'm sick of going with the norm. Everyone's going to say Oklahoma. I'm going to go with a new team that's just going over there. I'm going with West Virginia. Geno Smith, man. I think that kid is special. I think Geno Smith is going to put points on the board in that conference. That conference is real suspect to me. They don't play defense, but I'm going to go with West Virginia. You going to Oklahoma?
No, I thought that's what you were going
to
say.
Nah. Everybody goes to Oklahoma. I'm sick of the norm.
I like A&M and I like Baylor.
Baylor without RG3?
Yeah, Baylor still got a good team.
Because they paying players, man. They paying players over there. Football and basketball. Girls and boys.
I like Baylor.
You like Baylor? All right, Ray's got Baylor. So we the ACC. What's the weird one? Big East. Is that still the conference?
Yeah, I like Connecticut.
Seriously, I don't even know that.
They're not Big East football, though. That's why I'm laughing.
They're not?
No.
They're not Big East anymore?
No, I don't think so. I think Rutgers still is.
You know what? Big East is irrelevant. I'm skipping the Big East. They're
Syracuse.
The Big East is irrelevant. I'm just kidding. You know what? The Big East is irrelevant. Anyway, they're very irrelevant. All right, at the end of the day, who do you think is going to win it all?
At the end of the day, who is going to win it all?
Or would you rather say who's the top two teams?
Well, you figure the winner of the SEC will be in the BCS title game, right?
Yeah. So you said it's Arkansas.
And
that was your pick,
and then
Arkansas.
You probably got USC.
So you got Arkansas,
so
USC?
USC, Arkansas will be my title game with Arkansas winning.
I like the way you think, right? I like the way you think.
But I mean,
think
without Bobby Petrino, it's a stretch, though. But I like Arkansas's team.
All right. I'm going to be real. I think it'll, I know. I mean, I'm going to be honest because I want to be biased and put Michigan. But obviously, I can't be as biased. Kept doing this thing, so LSU will get a shot at it. I think this is LSU's year. I think the SEC always wins it. I can't change it. I think LSU wins the championship, even though they lose Matthew. I think they'll be good enough. They recycle defensive beasts, like defensive cornerbacks, like it ain't nobody's business. So I'm gonna go LSU win the championship. Who do you think will be Heisman?
Heisman?
Yeah, Heisman. Who's winning the Heisman?
Put me on the spot on that one. I know Denard Robinson is one that a lot of people are picking. If Michigan has a season that you're predicting, Denard Robinson has a good shot at it. I'm not going to say I'm picking him from Jump Street. Matt Barkley obviously has a good
chance. Oh, that guy's getting the publicity. He's got the Heisman look. He has a Heisman look. If he gets the championship, like you said, he'll get it.
Yeah, Matt Barkley should get it.
You got Barkley? I'm going to go with, I know I mentioned him earlier. I'm going to go with Geno Smith. I think Geno Smith's gonna have a hell of a year.
I like Geno Smith.
I thought you like him. I think the Big 12 is gonna be very conducive to what he can do. They play no defense. I think he can really spread them out and score. Accurate passer, mobile. I like Geno Smith. I really do. I think he's gonna fry. But anyway, time for another commercial break. When we get back, we'll talk about the O's. We're hot today. Lost tonight, and the Nats who broke their losing streak. It's a great day.
I wonder what you've been saying about the Nats since.
It's rejoice. That loser. Bryce Harper hits two home runs.
The Nats were hot,
and now they're not. But now they're back. Urban Sports Scene on Eyes Radio. Good day.
My life is full of statistics. Thing is, I could have dropped out of school and become one myself, but I didn't because I had people that believed in me. Here's another statistic: 7,000 students drop out every school day. That's one every 26 seconds. It's time that students know that we believe in them.
Inspire a student and share your message of support at boostup.org.
Life is good. Life is good.
Life is good. Life is good. Life is good. Life is good.
This is Ryan Kerrigan, and you're listening to the Eyes Radio Network.
With Urban Sports Team on Eyes Radio, now we're back for commercial break. We get to talk about the Nats.
That's
with Urban Sports Team on
the Nationals.
Radio. Back from commercial break.
Still best record in baseball, even after a 5-game losing streak.
Are they?
Says a lot, yeah.
Are they one game? They won one game.
Doesn't matter. It's the best record in the Major League, son.
So they play the National League, but you know, against the AL East, the O's and the Yanks, they have like a losing percentage
this season.
Yeah,
yeah, I probably do.
You know why the AL is better than the NL?
Better pitching.
What, better pitching where?
In the American League.
No, better hitting.
Is that what it is?
Better hitting.
Better hitting.
That's it. I don't say better pitching. I like the Nats staff. I take the Nats staff over a lot of teams, to be honest with you. But go ahead, man. Go ahead and talk about the Nats, man. I'll let you talk about
it. No, I think there was a sense of complacency, a swagger going into Philly. And Philly reminded me that we are still the same team. I watched.
You're referring to losing streak, right?
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah.
The former losing streak, excuse me.
Yeah, well, it was a losing streak to tonight when Bryce Harper led his team to a victory in Miami.
He had two home runs. Bryce, the kid, had two home runs and one mega shot.
And one of them, he crushed it.
Colossal shot.
No, but my whole thing was, David Johnson, this was the game. It was against Cliff Lee. I believe this is the third and final game of the series. This is afterwards when him and Mike Rizzo got into it. Cliff Lee actually almost hit a home run on Jordan Zimmerman. And watch the manager, the coaches had the outfielders come in and play extremely shallow. This is how Cliff Lee got behind Bryce Harper. Pissed me off. They take out Jordan Zimmerman, Grozzolani. Bam, gives up a home run right off the jump to Rollins. And
J-Roll.
3-0 after that home run. You got Adam LaRoche. Hits a hard shot. Everybody thinks it's gone. They're walking. He's walking.
I saw that. He got tagged. That was hilarious. That was funny.
That's how they blew that loss. And then Roy Halladay speaks for himself. Although I talked to some Philly fans. I was getting taunted. I was up north. I was in Jersey watching the game. And people think that Cliff Lee is not going to be in Philly next year. And they think he's actually the best pitcher on the staff right now.
Yeah, because Cliff Lee is.
I know. I'm just sharing what I was told.
Roy Halladay hasn't been healthy. I mean, when
Roy Halladay had a good game against the Nationals, though.
He hasn't been healthy. I'm saying he hasn't been healthy.
But they got woke up by the Phillies, put it that way. the Phillies still stink this season, and they will not make the playoffs. Just to let somebody like Crawley or whoever his name is. I know he's a Philly fan.
Yeah, he's a Philly fan.
Yeah, it's over. But I'm just saying that because I got a lot of trash talk coming my way.
I know.
But it was a cool sense.
You got a lot of trash talk coming your way from who?
By Phillies fan. Because that's what it where I was in New Jersey, that's the team.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
And they have all Philly stations outside of a couple. So I understand, but come on now. Be serious. Nationals will be okay. Davey Johnson said injuries were the problem. Ian Desmond and Michael Morse being injured. He missed those two, but the Nats been rotating injuries throughout the season. So, hey.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm watching the Redskins replay of the game. I DVR'd it because I missed the game. I was busy playing basketball, and I just saw Billy Cundiff, the one that everybody thought was better than Graham Gano, just miss an easy kick because he's horrible. Back to the Nats. The Nats, to me, like I don't. It happens. In baseball, you go to stretches when you have losing streaks. It happens. It's a long season, 162 games. You try to get to a point where you are. You try to get to a place in the season where you try to minimize a losing streak. I think, regardless, I mean, prior to tonight, I thought that Strasburg was going to end the losing streak. That's what my thought process was going to be. He got rocked. Then that's when I was actually concerned for the Nationals because Strasburg got rocked. Your ace in the hole got rocked. That was a chance, okay, well, all right, they can go on a losing streak after that, you know, because, you know, he has to pitch every 5 days or whatever, every 4 days or 5 days. You get to a point. But you get to that point. Then you get Bryce Harper. He stepped up, had a big game. Actually, that shows a lot of spunk and a lot of, like, I feel like, leadership in a way. And even, you know, clutch to, you know, that your team needs help. They need the situation. People are already concerned because Strasburg got the loss. And they're like, okay, this could be a big losing streak. One of your cornerstones of your franchise comes up, hits two home runs in a game. That speaks volumes. I think now they can go on and continue playing good baseball with Gio Gonzalez and all the other Zimmerman and all the other guys. And then when they come back with Strasburg, they'll be able to continue their role and build that lead against the Braves. But do you think the Braves pose a danger for this team?
Yeah. The Nationals are susceptible to losing streaks, clearly. In my opinion, it happens all over baseball.
It does, though. I told you.
So you just never know what's going to happen. The Braves are inconsistent, though. That's the only thing. So I believe the Nats will hold on to this lead going into the playoffs. The Dodgers have signed the whole world, so that's what they really got to worry about at this point. but, like I said, they can avoid the Dodgers. I said that before.
Yeah.
I think they have a good shot of making the World Series this season. But Atlanta head to head, I think they can beat Atlanta.
Oh, I think so series. Too. I think
but,
so too.
But Atlanta again is still a team that poses a threat. Although if they had significant chances playing the Nationals head to head recently here in Washington, and then the losing streak by the Nationals to gain ground, they just dropped the ball on the opportunity.
Well, unfortunately, they played a hot San Diego Padres team that I think is was on a crucial winning streak too. I think the Braves beat them. Last night, the Braves beat them last night, I believe. But I think the Braves lost tonight, matter of fact. So the Braves had their opportunity. I agree with Ray. They had the opportunity, especially in the series with the Nats. But I just think that's just a bad matchup for the Braves when they play the Nationals. I think the Nationals pitching staff is too much for the Braves offense. I don't think they have the weapons other than maybe Hayward and Chipper Jones, if he feels good that night, to really do some damage to the Nationals. But let's move on to another baseball team. That's a local baseball team, the Baltimore Orioles. They've cut the Yanks lead down tremendously. I think we're down 8 or 7 games now. They're down about 3.5. They lost tonight.
Just three.
They're 71-58. They just lost to the White Sox. Your thoughts of the Orioles right now? As
Orioles are hitting really well right now. Pitching has been better.
Oh yeah, it's been really good
as of recent. Much better, actually, I should say. And Buck Showalter to me has been showing good leadership. Man, I think his team reflects his character in a toughness sort of way, which they seem to lack at times. The Orioles. Especially when they're down, when they're through a losing streak, which is normal for most teams. You're going to have negative body language or just poor energy when you're not playing well. But as of late, they seem to have been playing hard. Even tonight, they looked as though they were there. Hey, it's one of those games. It happens.
Nah, I'll tell you the reason why they lost 8-1. It's because there's this thing when you do too many moves. And they made a trade to get Saunders out of Arizona, and the dude wasn't even pitching well. I think he had he had double digit losses, maybe 3-10 or 3-9, and his ERA was too high. You're getting a pitcher from them from the National League to the American League. Granted, he used to be good in his heyday. In his heyday, he was good, but he's 3-9, and his ERA is high. Why are you trading for this guy? He just got rocked. You traded him to the AL. He just got rocked. Basically, it's 8-1. He gave up 6 runs. Why trade for? You might as well play. They might as well play the guys who were playing pitching well. The Orioles had a bunch of other young pitchers who were pitching well, but the Orioles wanted some veteran leadership on the roster and the starting position. And this guy bombed. You already had. My whole thing is like, what have you done lately?
He's more of a long term play. It's all about the
long
term
plan for what?
The playoffs.
He can damage that. The Orioles were doing good before he got there. He could damage that.
The Orioles aren't thinking about that being damaged. They're thinking about making the playoffs.
Why not go with the guys who gotten you there, who've been hot, who are actually pitching well? You know what I mean? Like that's like you know what I'm saying? You like playing basketball. You hit like 5 threes in a row, easy. Say we have a person named AJ trying to come in and take you out of the game.
Wow.
You know what I mean? That like why would I take you out of the game if you just knocked down a 3? It makes no sense. You're hot.
No, if you put AJ in the game with me, that's basically what the Orioles are doing. They're not trading anything for him, really.
No, that's a couple players. No, that's a couple players.
Yeah, of course, but I'm just saying, not anything meaningful for this season's playoff run. So,
no, it's meaningful, dude. Like Steve Johnson has been 2-0 with a low 3.18 ERA, and he has been shutting teams down.
How many playoff appearances does he have?
It's not about how many playoff appearances.
It is.
No, man, it's not. It's about if you suck now, you suck. If you suck, you suck.
No, Brad Penny is different.
All right, give me your example. Brad Penny has been into multiple playoffs. Sucked in the playoffs because he sucked that season. Because he sucked. When it's done, it's done. Why was he being released by the Texas Rangers? He has playoff experience.
Listen, it's all about numbers.
He's 3-9.
It's all about
three
numbers.
And it's not like, and be honest with you, it's not like Saunders.
It's about numbers.
That's true. But it's not like this number, though. I'm talking about this season's number.
Right, but
you suck this season.
This is a regular season
but
number.
But you suck this season. You get what I'm saying? You suck this season. So, the season, the Orioles aren't.
I'm not vouching for Orioles, by the way. Please.
I
don't know.
I'm not arguing for the Orioles either. I'm just trying to provide some rationale because that was the question.
It's not rational.
I'm
irrational.
I'm looking for some rationale. I'm not even. You asked me for a reason. I'm trying to give you one.
I'm pissed, man. It's just stupid. Like the Orioles are in a real race right now. It's not just with the Yankees. They're in a race with the the Rays, the A's.
You said before Tigers. The show they weren't in the race with the A's.
No. The Rays, they're a game. No,
my bad.
They're
the Angels.
Game.
I'm thinking about Angels. Sorry.
Not the Angels. The Rays. Wrong.
90%.
No, not at all. You're wrong a lot.
crazy.
And the Tigers.
I was right about Vince Young.
Yeah, whatever. You were right about that. But, the Orioles are in that kind of race. There's so many teams they got to try to jump. It's too much going on, man. They need to, get rid of Saunders, call up Jake Arrieta, who just had a great game in the minors, went seven innings and only gave up two hits. And we're worried about Saunders being a starting pitcher for the Baltimore Orioles. It's ridiculous. Anyway, move on down. Pregame. You know I'm tired, man. You can tell I'm tired. Boston versus the Dodgers trade. You talked about it briefly, about the Nats being concerned about the Dodgers because they got Adrian Gonzalez, Carl Crawford, and Josh Bell.
No, they were concerned about the Dodgers.
This trade,
Beckett is on the downside.
I agree. He has playoff experience.
Carl Crawford is too.
He has playoff experience, though.
Hey, championship experience.
Yes.
That's valuable,
but he sucks. But he's not good this season. Go ahead.
That is extremely valuable.
But you said he has a downfall. You said that's a downfall in his career. I'm going to go ahead and continue.
No, I say he's on the downside.
Yeah, I know. I hear you.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying he's on the downside of his career. Maybe I'm speaking more from a Boston Red Sox perspective.
I hear you.
Versus the Nationals against them. I didn't necessarily mean that the trade meant that much to threaten the Nationals. They already had problems with the Dodgers even before they had these guys.
That's true.
Do these guys scare me? Not the most Gonzalez, yeah, but Carl Crawford, no.
He's not playing this season.
Who?
Carl Crawford.
Yeah, he doesn't bother me.
He's not playing this season.
And Beckett's on the downside, even though Beckett can win a game, definitely. And Beckett has playoff experience, championship experience. He's an MVP.
You playing Beckett off like he's not going to do anything. That's why this conversation
No, 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 no. I'm just saying he's beatable at this point in his career.
So he's beatable.
But, yeah, he's beatable.
So he's nobody special, though, right?
Huh?
He's nobody special.
What do you mean?
Beckett's nobody special. Because if I'm just saying he's nobody special. I'm just saying, compared to what you're just telling me, he's nobody special.
No,
nobody to worry about.
Put it this way. If it was Beckett Strasburg game 7, I'm giving the edge to Beckett daggone in the playoffs.
Really?
Daggone right.
Hell no. And I would actually, what are you smoking? Because I want to smoke the same thing.
Dude, Strasburg has never been in a game 7.
Well, he's just flat out better.
He went
through
7 hours of Tommy John surgery.
I'll give you an example. Josh Beckett, when he first won his World Series with the Florida Marlins, and Brad Penning and all these guys, when they beat the Yankees, all the pitchers had experience.
Wally,
they were fresh.
It happens.
That's what I'm saying.
Kevin Durant beat Dirk this year. Who gives a damn?
I'm just saying.
It happens.
I'm just going against my point.
It happens. You can find examples to go against you. Who cares?
I'm just saying.
Derek Fisher was picked up by who?
That was a waste.
By OKC.
And did they win
championship?
They went.
No.
You played to win the game. Not to fall second. You play to win the game.
It doesn't work sometimes.
You win the last game.
Carmelo and Gary Payton went to the Lakers to win the championship.
They
work.
Right.
Gary Payton went to the Heat. It worked. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
No. Carl Malone is called karma.
All right. We're not even going there. I'm just saying, it works sometimes, and
sometimes it doesn't.
See what happens.
Sometimes
it works. And like I said, I was just trying to find a rationale for the Orioles. That's what you want.
All I said.
Why would they do that trade? I said maybe it's because they want some experience.
Why are we going back to Orioles? All I was saying is
question. Because you keep going back to that.
No,
point.
I'm just saying. You said Josh Beckett.
He's on the downside.
Oh,
I'm
and,
not saying
and
he's
not.
Not
even as good as Josh Beckett. That's my point. He's not even as close to Josh Beckett.
Beckett.
You know what I mean? But yeah, so the Dodgers aren't like you don't think they're the favorites with this trade?
The Dodgers aren't. Are they the favorites?
Because of the trade.
Not because of the trade, but they are considered a favorite.
A favorite?
Yeah. Sure.
Dodgers are trailing the Giants by three or four games. The wild card they're trying to aim for it. I don't know. I mean, I thought the Dodgers would be the favorite. I think I'll say this much: the Dodgers make the postseason. They're the favorites if they make the postseason because they got Kershaw.
Because
they have Kershaw, they'll have the best pitcher in the National League because Strasburg won't be playing in the playoffs. Unfortunately, I actually agree with Mike Rizzo on the low. I agree
he's
with him.
He's making bread. That's what he wants to do.
He's your prime possession. If the Cubs did this for Kerry Woods and Mark Pryor, we would be talking about them. Anyway, what does this deal mean for like Bobby Valentine for Boston on Boston side?
It has nothing to do with him.
No. Do you think this like says okay, he's going to keep his job now? I thought they were
absolutely
firing first.
No, they shouldn't fire him. Yeah. Because he had the most injuries in the league. Mm-hmm. And they still were decent.
Yeah.
They still don't suck.
They suck.
No. They don't suck like they could.
Yeah, I know.
With all the injuries, he's not the most lovable guy. But no, I had to vouch for him because he came in with new management to change the culture. I said that last time, man. That's all he's trying to do. And Pedroia's got to go next, man. He's got
to
go.
I agree. See, that's my thing. Like, I want to know if Pedroia going to be the next one to be gone.
It's gotta be.
You got rid of everybody.
I liked him before that.
Well, I mean, you got rid of everybody who didn't like Bobby Valentine. You got rid of Euculus. You got rid of Adrian Gonzalez.
Because they created a culture and they got Francona fired. If they didn't act stupid last year,
I think Adrian Gonzalez didn't get Francona fired. He was chilling.
But the rest of the beer drinking Papel Bonds of the world,
that beer stuff is so overrated. It's ridiculous. They wanted to find a reason to get rid of him. I don't want to hear about the beer drinking. They weren't winning championships before him. They won it during him, and they won't win it after
it's
him.
It's the way of the world, man.
You see, Bobby
it's
Valentine.
The way of the world. PEDs have been a problem for how long? But since now, since a stupid book came out, and more people are telling, and all types of people are going great lengths just to get
good transition.
No, just
good transition.
Wow,
you the man.
I'm just saying,
you the man.
Beer drinking, alcohol drinking in clubhouses, in practice fields. John Riggins drank alcohol in a barn somewhere. But when they won, it didn't even matter.
Exactly.
So that's the thing. So now they're losing. It comes to the forefront. It has two deck on it. So Bobby V came in to be the Alcohol Anonymous guy.
Oh, man, that's what I like about you, man. Your transition skills, without even knowing it, are on point. You just mentioned PEDs.
Melky Cabrera.
Cologne.
I like the way he tried to cover up.
Yeah.
Cologne was I don't get people like Cologne and Palmero. Get swole if you're going to do this crap, man.
Just
be Tony Gwynn. Just eat.
I would never suspect him for taking steroids.
See, I could see a fat dude like Prince Fielder taking steroids. No, seriously, because he's strong. He got like a solidness to him.
Yeah, yeah.
But Cologne? Cologne wasn't always fat as he is now.
No, he got fat. He just got fat. Yeah, he getting fat.
He like the old Darren Williams.
I don't understand.
Come on, man. Why are you doing it? I guess it is recovery time.
Because he's older. Because maybe he's an older player.
Cabrera, I can totally see. You know, he's not the skinniest guy in the world either.
Yeah.
But I can see that. It's not a new issue. I don't like the way personally, but I think it's funny how he tried to cover up
the website thing,
the false website. He tried hard. And then you got Victor Conti coming out doing his whole Jose Canseco thing. Although he has the right to do it because he's a gangster.
He did it. He's the man.
He's a gangster.
He's the man, dude. So he's the man.
He knows. He has baseball by a thread, actually, man. He can do whatever you want.
He's the man. He knows. I don't judge that dude. I don't judge that dude at all.
Victor
Conti.
Nobody knows what Conti
Roll is. Little square. Get it? No. Those are good days, man. Conti Rose, those are good days, man. Do you think the punishment... It's been one of those good days, man.
That was Conti Road, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, meatball pizza dog.
Oh, yeah.
You know about it, man.
Papa John's.
You think punishment for steroid abuse fits the crime?
Yeah, that's fine. Somebody came out and said that it should be like a 1-year ban off the jump.
That's a little silly.
It's a little too much.
All right.
It's tainting stats these days, though, which sucks, you know, because there's still some honest guys out there. I think Pujols still is an honest person.
Yeah, we can say knock on wood. Somebody said they wouldn't be surprised if Derek Jeter's on the juice. I don't know who it was, though.
That's hilarious. I don't
because
get,
he's an older player.
Oh, yeah, maybe. It's not a big deal. I think Josh Hamilton is a natural gifted.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I think he has his own problems.
He's own demons. I don't think it's steroids.
I wouldn't be surprised if Prince is doing something.
Nah, the only thing Prince is addicted to is hamburgers and fries. Dollar menu style.
I don't know about that. But
PEDs is not a surprise at this point. Pujols will be a surprise to many, though.
I know if he did.
Although he plays in the steroid era.
Yeah.
And nobody gives him
his boy. I mean, Mark McGwire did train him. He was what Mark McGwire was like. He was a
Mark McGwire is not a person who injects somebody though. He's not a person that just receives. Seriously. I can see, because someone said, I inject him in his buttocks. That's what he said.
God, that's so ignorant at the same time.
Well, it is. My McGraw would like somebody would say, hey, man, let me give you an inject.
You got the juice down, man. You got the juice. That was a good one.
I was serious, though.
Real quick, Mookie Cabrera was like the all-star MVP. Right? So, in essence, should the National League, like, not host the all-star game? Just because, I mean, he was the all-star MVP?
No, how many people are cheating on others that, bro? Like you said about the beer drinking thing, it's not a big thing.
This mic is geeking, I'm sorry. Say it again, Ray.
Oh, it cut me off?
Yeah, you're getting cut off. What's up with your mic?
My mic is?
Yeah, you're good now.
It's my mic.
Yeah, no, now you're good now. So go ahead and say what you want to say.
I don't remember what I was saying. Oh, I was saying it doesn't matter because
could they get the host
cheating
now?
Is in baseball.
But they get the host now. Yeah, you're right. Cheating
it's
is
a
in
dumb
baseball.
Ruling. Anyway. Gosh, let's end this thing.
I know. You said
I was about to say, then I was about to correct myself and say Goodell.
Bud Selig.
Oh,
y'all know it's
one
late.
One for three.
You know it's late. Seriously, yeah, we got to end this show. I'm sorry. We got to end the show. How you want to end the show? I'm tired.
I'll continue to listen to Urban Sports Scene. Support the show. Big things coming up. Basketball season coming around the corner. Bradley Beal, the Washington Wizards. Making that run for
they got spot. Webster too, Martell Webster.
Yeah.
Great signing. That's the reason I'm a Wizards fan.
Exactly. I'm just saying, look for big things as basketball season gets closer. Football season is here.
Thank you, G. We can do our picks again and everything.
Football season is here. I think with the access the Urban Sports Scene has to the Washington Wizards this season, it's going to be big time.
Oh,
so that's
yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Man. Check that out. Urban Sports Scene, email urbansports@eyesradio.com. Waleo.podbean.com. WALEO is how you spell that. I talk too fast.
That's good.
So that's what I want to say.
I mean, .podbean.com.
You're good. Waleo.podbean.com.
I mean, you're the man. That's the reason you
Twitter, Facebook, how that Wally on Twitter and Facebook.
Yeah, and also make sure you check out the Israel
website. Call on his cell phone. I'll give you the number after the show.
Go ahead and make sure you check out the Israel Network on the website, www.israel.com. Yeah, it's a blessing. It's always a blessing to have Ray on the show. We don't have him often as much, but when we can't get Ray on the show, it's always like instant magic because Ray is a hilarious character. But yeah, like Ray said, big ups to everybody who's followed us. We appreciate it. Try and get to 1,000 followers on Twitter. So please keep following us. Tell people about us so we can continue getting followed. And also, I want to give a big shout out to the folks who have been listening to the show over the month. We've been over 1,000 easy on hits and everything. So we appreciate it. We appreciate the love. You all have been good to us, even in interaction on Facebook and Twitter. We really appreciate it, and hopefully it continues, and we get the word out, and we continue to grow. So much appreciated.
Brian Mitchell, don't wear pink, brother.
All right, Urban Sports Day. We out.
Can't do it, man.
We're too tired, man. We just too damn tired.
You can't wear pink, bro.